Podcast today's show at rte.ie/todaywithSeanOrourke.
This day 4 weeks is Christmas Day, the 25th of December, and all hell will be breaking loose, I suspect, around this time in many houses. But here to give us some timely advice and to assure us it's still not too late, just about to get everything right on the baking front, Tracy Coyne joins me again from Cork. Morning, Tracy.
Hi, Sean.
Now, let's just keep it to the essentials, because I know you'll be back in over the coming weeks with some of the last minute tips about how to handle the last few days. But there's still time to talk about Christmas cakes and puddings. So what about the cake?
There is, although some of the true stalwarts now would have the cake made maybe since the middle of summer, Sean. But actually, a cake only needs 3 weeks to kind of develop its mature flavour and taste and be perfect. So there's still time. In fact, there's time and a week, really. So, get out the baking tray and let's go.
Okay, now how important is a plan, to have a plan?
Well, I think planning really is the foundation of all bakes. So there's nothing worse than throwing on the oven, starting mixing, having a few things in the bowl, and the next thing you realise you've got no eggs. And it happens to the best of us. Look, it happens to me on a semi-regular basis, but maybe that's because I go through so many eggs in my house. But definitely for Christmas baking, it's not the time to run out of ingredients. So have a quick look and run down your recipes, run down your list and see that you have everything in stock before you start.
Right, check your ingredients. Now, you talk about 3 weeks being enough time for a cake to mature, but what about the idea of soaking the fruit in whatever? How long does that have to be done?
Yeah, well, soaking the fruit isn't an essential step, but it's a very nice step to give yourself that luxury feel when you cut into the cake. And of course, if the fruit has been soaked overnight or even for 3 or 4 hours, Sean, so if you wanted to do it while the kids were getting ready for school in the morning, soak your fruit and then maybe start making your cake at 12 or 1 o'clock in the day, that would also be perfect. But what it means is that the fruit traps that moisture in the cake, and when you cut it, you'll really see the difference between a cake that had fruit soaked and a cake that didn't have its fruit soaked.
Soaked in what? Must it be alcohol?
Not at all. I mean, the tradition would be for brandy or whiskey or even Guinness or whatever the liquid of your cake is going to be. So use some of the liquid in your cake to do that soaking. But equally, you could do it with fruit juice, so maybe orange juice. You could actually do it with tea. So the old cold tea brack, that's a very traditional Irish cake, is soaked in cold tea, literally. And that gives a great complimentary flavour to the dried fruit.
Yeah, it doesn't sound much like my cousin Maria. She gave me a cake to bring to somebody in Boston last week, and their parting words or advice were, if he's going to eat any of that, tell him not to drive.
Don't drive.
And I think she starts soaking the stuff in about August and then makes it in September,
yeah,
October. But nonetheless, it can be done. It doesn't have to be sozzled with alcohol and
not
so forth.
At all.
But then things like lining the tin, now that's an important detail.
Lining the tin, we talked about lining the tin generally last week, but actually for a Christmas cake it's particularly important that the tin is lined, and that's because a Christmas cake takes such a long, slow bake. So what I would tend to do with my Christmas cake is I would line my tin as I ordinarily would for a regular sponge cake. So I line it inside with a sheet of baking paper top and or bottom and sides, and in addition I would take a brown paper bag or maybe 2 or 3 brown paper bags or school wrap book wrapping paper, any of those things that you have, but a heavy weight brown paper, and I would wrap the outside of the tin as well. So that protects the cake. So that doesn't have to be baking paper or anything like that. It protects the cake and the tin from excessive heat.
Okay, and going too dark,
because this cake's going to be in the oven for quite a while.
Now, about the cake recipe, obviously a lot of fruit and so forth. Do you suggest to people they use a kind of an old family recipe, or are you a kind of a Nigella or a Delia or a Dorina fan?
I think that tastes, I suppose, are quite modern these days, and particularly if you want to make a cake and you go to the trouble of making a cake, you really want the kids to eat it and you want callers to eat it. So you don't want it sitting there as an ornament for the whole of Christmas. So make a cake that suits your family. For a lot of people, that will be maybe a spiced ginger and orange citrusy cake. For many people, it will be very traditional. I have a very traditional cake that is my grandmother's cake that I use. But even that said, I have adjusted the amount of seasoning. I've adjusted the fruit. I've adjusted types of fruit as ingredients are available now that weren't available in her time.
You have a tip as well, I understand, for people who use nuts to stop them sinking.
For everything, actually, anything that goes into a batter, if you put them in a bowl, toss a handful of flour in and just toss them around to make everything coated, and then put them into your batter, it gives the sides of either blueberries or fruit or nuts or any of those things that you're adding, it gives them a grip. So they don't sink straight through the batter when the batter starts to warm up.
Now, what about the baking time, the duration and the temperature?
Well, every recipe will be different depending on how dense the cake is and what size of tin you're using. So all those things will be determined by your recipe and the amount of cake batter you're putting in. But typically the rule of thumb is you don't want to be baking a Christmas cake at anything higher than around about 140 Celsius. So it's a low and slow bake, really. You throw on the oven and you kind of consider it there as a job that's going to be happening in the background over 2 or 3 or 4 hours.
And would that vary whether it's depending on whether it's an oven with a fan?
Well, a fan oven gives you a lower, more evenly distributed heat, and you would try and do your Christmas cake in a fan oven if you have access to a fan oven. And really, most ovens are fan ovens these days.
What about, well, that's if they're electricity, I suppose. Some people are still using gas, and they may even have a range or something like that, but the chances are they're well used to those. They know themselves the best way to set things. But what about avoiding or preventing a cake just being dry?
Well, so you want the slow bake and you want to protect the cake. So first of all, we have made it light by putting our eggs in really slowly. Secondly, we've soaked our fruit, okay? And of course, you're baking it then nice and slowly, so you protect your cake with all your wrapping on the outside of the tin. And about an hour into the baking, you probably want to put a cap on that cake as well. So you'll fold over another piece of your baking paper and brown paper, and you gently lay that on the top of your tin, which will protect the top of the cake from overheating and drying out. But of course, Sean, the thing about Christmas cakes, and we talked about it earlier with alcohol and orange juice and all the things that you can add, is that you'll be feeding that cake all the way into Christmas. So whenever you make it, you'll be feeding it all the way into Christmas, and your first feeding should really happen kind of as soon as you take it out of the oven while it's still quite warm, because the either brandy or sherry or orange juice or whatever you put in it will soak right down into the warm cake and give it that moisture.
But before you get onto that, you have to take the cake out. It's important, I presume, to leave it on the rack for some time.
So leaving it on the rack means that you don't get a soggy cake. So if you have your cake out of the oven, sit it on a rack and let the tin cool down and let the cake come away from the tin, and then take it out of the paper, unwrap it, okay, let it breathe, let it cool down, and when it's fully cooled, wrap it in maybe 2 layers of baking paper and then 2 layers of brown paper, 2 layers of baking paper and 2 layers of tin foil, but wrap it well, but not airtight. So we talked about last week, we talked about not having a cake in an airtight tin because it will sweat at that point, and that could likely cause a bacteria bloom between this and Christmas, and you don't want to be opening your cake on Christmas week to ice it to find a little green furry jacket on it.
Perish the thought. Would it be useful to turn the cake upside down and just to flip it every couple of days?
Well, you can feed it from all sides, so you can feed it top, bottom and sides.
Right. Now, the icing, that's something that people sometimes find difficult to get right. They either get it too soft or too hard. Certainly, we don't want anybody breaking their teeth this day, 4 weeks.
Sure. So icing, there's a couple of schools of thought on Christmas cake icing. Some cakes get covered in marzipan because people don't like the sugary icing, and they get left with just a marzipan coating with decorations on it. And then if you move into white icing, there's probably two main schools of thought. One is a soft icing that gets put on with a palette knife and then hardens up, really, really crusty hardens up, so you're cutting through it with maybe a serrated knife on the day. And the second is a fondant icing, which you roll and you lay on like a carpet, the same as you would with your marzipan. If you're using the hard icing, which is most beginners making a first Christmas cake will use that icing. So it's a royal icing. You put it on with a palette knife. It looks like a meringue. It has that kind of texture and it hardens over time. But if you don't want it to harden and you want to save the teeth, add a couple of teaspoons of glycerine to that before you put it on the cake, and that will keep it soft. So it won't be very soft texture like meringue, but it will go on soft, but it just won't harden up to a crisp.
Another one of the tricks of the trade from Tracy Coyne. Now, Tracy, I gather there's a little bit more time available to people who want to make the pudding.
There is. Now, pudding is different. A pudding can be made up to 3 or 4 days before Christmas, although I'm not sure that anybody would have the time to be dealing with Christmas pudding in that close to Christmas. So if you have the time to do it now, it doesn't take, it's very not a very involved process at all to make a Christmas pudding. You want to get a big bowl, put all of your ingredients in, again soak your fruit, and then the only time that's required for Christmas pudding is to steam it. So you steam it for maybe 2 hours or 3 hours, depending on whether you're using suet or not. If you're using suet and it's a very big pudding, you might want to be steaming it for 5 or 6 hours. So follow your recipe, but the time involved in a plum pudding is the steaming. The actual making of it isn't a big deal at all.
Now, just you mentioned suet earlier, but that is an optional input, isn't it?
It is. It's very traditional, and to be honest, while very traditional, cooks still use a suet in their recipes. I don't use a suet in my recipe, and a lot of modern taste would be kind of gone from it, particularly with the focus on healthy cooking and healthy baking in recent times. So I use a sponge base in my puddings, which makes a much lighter pudding altogether.
And I suppose, what the hell, let's give you a plug. You do, in effect, make a lot of people's puddings for them, don't you?
I've always made a lot of people's puddings for them. So I'm the family pudding maker, and I have been for years and years. But this year, I've made an awful lot of puddings, and we're selling them on Sunday at the Christmas in Killarney Food and Craft Fair in the Outlet Centre from 12 until 6.
Book me a train ticket. Tracy Coyne, thank you very much indeed for coming to studio in Cork. And
thanks,
we'll talk
John.
To you again this side of Christmas.
Thank you.